broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline. This is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandro.
This gun's for hire.
Got a new sponsor who was brave enough to come on to Gun for Hire Radio and join the rest of the lunatics. Huh?
It's interesting how he sought us out, and we've both been using him for years and we didn't know it.
Yeah, I know. It's a great place, too. Vista Parking.
Vista, V-I-S-T-A, parking.com. If you fly in or out of Newark Airport, Vista Parking is the way to go.
Yeah, it really is.
Tom, the owner, who's been here, he has a great setup where you park in his lot, and his vans with his guys that are licensed, background checks, take your luggage in the van. They drop you off at the terminal, departing flights. Mm. They give you a little ticket with a number on it. When you return, when you get your bags from the carousel, you call the phone number, give the code number. His guys in the white vans pick you and your luggage up, bring you to his parking lot, which is literally a mile from the airport,
outside the airport.
Your car is waiting for you in the summer with the air conditioning on. In the winter.
In the winter with the heat on.
And the snow removed.
Yes.
The last time they removed the snow from me.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
And literally, it's only a few bucks a day. It's cheaper than long-term parking. You don't have to take the tram, the jitney, or the shuttle. And think about it. Criminals are smart. If you and I park long-term parking, Sandy, and we're heading to the terminal, criminals know we're unarmed because we have to go to security checkpoints.
Yes, exactly.
So
right.
If my wife has been using Vista Parking for years. She used to travel for her last job, and I insisted she use Vista because it was secure.
And just tell them Gun for Hire Radio sent you.
Gun for Hire Radio sent you, and thank them for being a supporter. Even if you're not going to use them today, send them an email and thank them for having the balls enough to stand up in the Socialist Republic of New Jersey behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain, another person to stand up and fight with our cause.
So what do you think, Ant? You want to welcome our guest?
Okay, special guest in the house today, a friend of mine, business associate, 30-year. I've known Manny Serca, the owner of the Bullet Hole Range in Belleville, New Jersey. Manny also is a big Second Amendment advocate.
And I have to say, thank you very much for having the courage to be one of the first sponsors of Gun.
Not a problem at all.
And I know that you are a longtime supporter of the shooting sports, and you've sponsored teams, you've done tons and tons of stuff over the past 30
years. He was a board
years.
Member of the Association of Rifle and Pistol back in the day also. Manny had gone to Trenton, organized rallies and everything, so he's in the house now, and he's going to talk, he's going to open our eyes as us citizens on what the state police, the ATF, does to the gun store owner and how it affects us as consumers in the end in the police state of New Jersey. So, Manny, welcome.
Thank you. You want me to start speaking right here and now? I can't wait to unload.
Manny, I think we're in for a real treat here.
Yeah,
there's steam coming out of his ears.
It's going to be good. I see the red creeping up the back of his neck already.
Right?
Manny, please inform us and our listeners from the New York metropolitan area. Let it roll, baby.
First thing I want to talk about is economics. The state of New Jersey constantly complains about no money on their budget, so on and so forth. So it's beyond my ability to know why you would want to restrict gun sales to one gun a month, or should I say every 32 days, not 30 days. Taxes, 7% in our area. Governor's losing that money. Merchants are losing the sale. It's a trickle-down theory. Does it curb crime? Does it stop crime? No, because law-abiding citizens don't come into the bullet hole and give up their life history, medical background, and so on and so forth to get a permit that they waited 9 months to a year for to buy a gun and use it illegally.
Exactly.
The crime is out on the street, and the ATF falls into this category also. One time an ATF agent told me that he cannot pursue illegal trafficking of firearms because they're understaffed. And my answer to him was, if the fellow buys 10 guns in a business week, the ATF has to be notified of the multiple gun sale by the dealer. So if in 30 days the ATF were to visit this guy and say, show me those 10 guns you bought, and they're not here, and one of them already turned up in a crime in a city somewhere, you have the illegal gun trafficker on hand. So don't tell me you're understaffed and you can't do this.
You got his address.
If you have his name, address, all his pertinent information, and you don't want to prosecute this guy, yeah. but yet you want to hold legal gun owners in the state of New Jersey or anywhere else in the country at bay. I mean, our president just put an injunction on the border states that they only sell one long gun a month. Why? What does that have, or what bearing is that on crime? Anyone that travels internationally knows for a fact that if you go to Belgium, open-air flea markets on the street sell everything you possibly could want, cash and carry.
Right. But in Belgium, you don't see them shooting each other.
No, that's my point.
Right. There's no crime.
There's no crime. Yeah. There's no evidence of violent crime.
Right.
When they talk about illegal trafficking of ammunition in the state, very simple solution to that problem. You have some common carriers here. Have the common carriers only deliver the ammo to a legalized gun store. And then when a fellow comes to buy it, he picks it up at the gun store. So now you don't have criminals giving addresses to abandoned houses in the inner cities. And with the tracking situation today on a computer, they know within 5 minutes when UPS is going to be there. They sit on the front porch, sign for the box, and they walk away.
Yeah.
Now they have thousands of rounds of ammunition out on the street illegally. But it's easier for the law enforcement people to turn around and come to the bullet hole and subpoena my ammunition records that they're looking for who bought what on a such and such a day.
Has anyone ever been caught in a crime that signed an ammunition record book? Really?
No. Never.
I mean, what a waste of time. What a waste of time.
Absolutely never.
How many, on average, in a week, how many 9mm transactions do you put in that book?
Hundreds and hundreds.
So if someone got shot with a 9mm American Eagle in a crime, like they have to go to every dealer in the state and look at their firearms ammunition registration book.
In the state? Across the line to PA to a gun show and you can buy cases.
Correct.
But again, surplus. Here we are demonizing the tool
and not
and
the
not
criminal.
The doer, yeah.
That's exactly where it all falls. The legal system today does not prosecute the criminal. They slap them on the hand and they give them amnesty to go back out on the street again and do as they please.
You know, Manny, we've been talking about that over and over and over. I think it's a recurring theme here. You or I or Anthony, we can't do 6 months in a state's penitentiary. These guys, it's a vacation.
I'm too cute for prison.
It's a walk in the park for them.
Yeah, exactly.
They see old friends. They get reunion. They get to have air conditioning, three square meals a day. They get to work out.
Cable TV.
So on and so forth.
Good sex. I said that out loud? Sorry.
Well, you know, they get that there, too. You know, that's part of the game going away.
Sure.
But, you know, even taking it further, look at the everyday common person that I see come in the store. People that have never owned guns that come with permits to buy. Why? I asked them that question. What are you going to do with this gun? Why do you want this gun? Well, we want to learn how to shoot it, first of all, and we need the gun also for home protection. So where is our society going today where an everyday blue-collar working guy has to come in with his wife and buy a gun? Yes, for recreational purposes, yes, guaranteed. But he needs it mainly for household protection because home invasions, muggings, rapings, whatever you want to call it, is going on rampant, and it's beyond control. Our government is breaking down, cannot control the crime, and it looks like to me they don't even want to.
No, it seems all they want to do is control law-abiding
citizens. They're easier to control the citizen. And I'm going to give you a good example of this. In the last 3 years, I've had a company call and fax me invoices for ammunition, guns, and so on and so forth that they want me to containerize, shrink wrap, and send overseas. It's an illegitimate operation. It's going to some terrorist organization overseas. There's no two ways about it. I've reported it to the ATF, state police, FBI, local authorities, Waterfront Commission, Homeland Security. Absolutely no one has done anything to investigate or put a stop to what these people want. I'm conscientious. I love my country and I love American people. And the people that are giving their lives over in the desert are Americans. I don't want to see these people injured any more than they have to be. And no one seems to step up to the plate to put a stop to this company. Now, there's going to be a mom and pop shop somewhere that's going to say, yeah, okay, I'm going to send you 100,000 rounds of 308 ammo. I'm going to send you these high-grade match target guns for long-range shooting because they never had a big sale, so they're going to take advantage of it and they're not going to care.
Especially in this kind of economy.
Exactly. But why doesn't, when I make formal requests to legal organizations that are supposed to be protecting the American people, no one steps up to the plate and says, show me. I showed them the folder. I have a file that's an inch thick on these people with invoices that they request, and nothing's done.
And we'll be right back with our special guest, Manny Circa, owner of the Bullet Hole Shooting Range and Gun Shop in Belleville, New Jersey, and raconteur extraordinaire.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a Lipstick Bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Lipstick Bodyguard is available at all Gun for Hire locations and events. In New Jersey at the Bullet Hole Pistol Range in Belleville. And in Toms River at Just for Nurses Boutique, 47 Route 37 East between Main Street and Hooper Avenue. And coming soon at LipstickBodyguard.com. And we're back.
Manny Circa's in the house from the Bullet Hole.
Hi again, folks. Manny's going to vent some more here.
Good. Hey, there's 30 years of that stuff built
30
up.
30 years
great.
Of dealing
but,
with the state police.
But it's
police
true.
And the
I mean, he sees it on a regular basis from a standpoint we don't usually get a chance to see of what an FFL, a businessman, has to do in order to make a living and deal with the bureaucracy that works against us but does absolutely nothing to prevent crime.
Tell us about, I come in, I buy a handgun, and I leave. What goes on after that with paperwork with you guys?
Once you complete your paperwork, we have to file it, actually. We have to remove the gun out of our federal registration book in your name and so on and so forth. The 4473 and the New Jersey state form that's necessary, because we have two forms of registration in the state of Jersey.
No, one's not good enough.
No, we have to have two, and they're redundant. They're the same exact question.
Well, there's a surprise.
Isn't that amazing? And then we have the pistol permit and the firearms ID card, but we have to file that paperwork forever. We're responsible for it until we close our business. Periodically, the ATF calls us for searches on particular firearms by serial number and so on and so forth, who it was sold to. The only reason why the ATF does not have that paperwork on hand is because their filing system is so antiquated that when a pile of papers fall over, they get mixed in with 2009, gets mixed in with 2010, they can't find anything. So it's easier for them to get the gun, the serial number, call the manufacturer tells them the distributor that it went to, and then the distributor says it came to the bullet hole. So we're the filing system for the ATF.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
But yet
yeah.
When the ATF comes and does our inspections every year, they send 2-3 people over, and they spend 10-15 days there going through our paperwork.
Oh, my God.
They'll fill a form out of 4473 and say, hey, you know, on John Jones's name, no one dotted the I or crossed the T, and they write this up. That's a violation, and this is a violation. And then at the end of their 15 days, they hand you the violation, and we're going to report this to our administrator, so then we put it in your file. Well, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
We're only human, and we have pencils with erasers, you know?
Now, I've been in the store when the ATF is there. Now, they'll pick a gun off the shelf and say, show us this paperwork. And then they'll grab handfuls of paperwork and say, show us these guns. So they do like this reverse and forward and reverse audit. But what happens is after the ATF leaves, Manny, who comes in to do an audit right after the ATF?
State police will follow them.
The state police comes in and does the same thing.
Well, does the same audit.
They justify their jobs.
Why can't we just have the firearms ID card and do away pistol permits and swipe the number like you do a charge card? And that's your registration form. Do away with all the paperwork, all the cost of pistol permits, tying up policemen where they can be out on the street fighting crime. We don't need some guy sitting in an office somewhere filling out pistol permits and doing background checks.
Right.
Background checks that are supposed to take 30 days to get a firearms ID card.
Good luck.
If you're a black or Hispanic American living in the inner city, it'll take you 9 months to a year to get a firearms ID card, as to where the law says 30 days, number one.
People living in the neighborhoods that need the protection most.
Most of all.
Because the city has fired all the cops.
They are in the bullpen. I call it the bullpen.
Yeah, yeah.
Politicians have escorts take them from their limos to their offices, so they don't know or see what goes on in the street. So now these people that are there for those firearms ID cards and pistol permits waiting a year, they finally get it, if they're lucky, and then they come in to process it, and then they have to go through their normal background checks. But if you...
And they have to use it within a certain period of time. See, a lot of our listeners are living outside the state of New Jersey and can't even imagine that what we are laboring under.
Yeah, and in addition to that grief, if I hate to say this and it sounds discriminatory, if you're a white male or female and you live in an upscale neighborhood somewheres, you can get a pistol permit in a week to 10 days.
Yeah.
And then you have other police departments that discriminate against women. They feel that women should not own guns, so they refuse to issue permits to women.
Well, you know, we go right back to our favorite topic of the fact that the gun laws are all Jim Crow laws.
Yep.
They happened in 1968 after the riots when the state of New Jersey basically burned to the ground. Most of the gun laws were put into place to stop those people from having guns.
Correct.
Well, you know, we take the 1968 gun control law a little further. The federal government implemented that. If you read the 1968 gun control law in its entirety and go back to 1939, when Hitler was in power, it's an exact duplicate of the the German occupation of Poland. So it wasn't a genius in Washington that thought up a gun control law. They said, wow, it worked for
let's
Hitler.
Let's copy the Nazis.
It worked with the Nazis, so we'll just take it and stick it into the American people. Why? Why?
Yeah, right.
What's the gold here? What are we looking at here?
Yeah, exactly right. You know, and everybody, and you get these people who say, oh, that can never happen here. It can never happen
here. Open your eyes.
Now, we know.
They're closing the door on you every day.
Yeah.
Now, everybody in this room knows that the one gun a month has drastically lowered crime in the state of New Jersey, right?
Oh, absolutely.
No, absolutely. Okay, there's no crime. So, you can walk right down. You can walk right down the street.
And Manny.
But I'm not going to.
Now, Manny, what has Gun a Month done for you? It had have impacted your business as far as income coming in with gun sales. And I know it's a hellaciously amount of paperwork, right? The state police has you filling out more forms. Isn't it like your job to track to make sure the person doesn't buy one more than one gun a month, even though you're only one gun store of many in the state?
Right. They wanted to hold us accountable because the local municipality and the state police did not want to take the responsibility. They were fighting it out. So what they did is they implemented it into the gun shop owner. You have to keep an account.
So if I went to Meltzer's and bought a gun, and then 3 days later came to you and bought a gun, it's your fault.
It's our fault.
Nice.
It's our fault.
That's
so
great.
How do we, that was in the beginning.
Okay. How do you even know?
That was in the beginning. So my daughter, who is a computer whiz, she built a program that kicks out when we have a customer's their name, and when they last purchased a gun. So we had an incident where an individual came in on the 31st day to buy another gun, and he was in violation because, according to them, 30 days, and then on the 31st day, he couldn't actually buy the gun until the 32nd day.
Oh, that's New Jersey
math. New Jersey law now. Oh, that's the 32nd day.
30 days. New Jersey, where everything takes longer.
Correct. Yeah.
The bottom line here is when they stop you for a traffic violation, they run your NCR background check. They know in 5 minutes everything about you. No different.
That's right.
No different than when you go to buy a gun. That's the insanity of it, where when a person comes in and wants to buy a gun, and we call up the NICS. Now, the NICS is supposed to be open at 10 in the morning to 8 o'clock in the evening. That doesn't happen. They close down at 7:30 when they feel like it. Saturdays, they're supposed to be there till 5 o'clock. They close at 4 o'clock, and if you question it, they're booting up their computer. Well, that's not my issue.
You can't boot up the computer
at
night?
As a business owner, they're closed Sundays and holidays. They close early on Saturdays, which prevents you from selling guns.
Exactly.
So I'm an impulse buyer. Most men are impulse buyers.
Right.
So I go with Sandy to the range to shoot. I have a live pistol permit in my pocket, and I see that 50 cal Desert Eagle in gold that I always wanted. You have it behind the counter, and it's 5 o'clock at night on Saturday. I can't buy it.
Can't buy it.
If it's Sunday, I can't buy
it. Can't buy it. You can't buy it after 8 o'clock. In the evening. And when I contested this and went to the Attorney General's office many years ago, and I requested that let me sell on Sundays, let me sell after 8 o'clock in the evenings, because we were normally open until 9:30.
Back in the day.
And all of the holidays, including the Friday after Thanksgiving, which is the biggest sale day of the year, they told me no. So I went after them legally. And when I went after them legally, I was proved to be right in court. When the state attorney general's office was approached after 120 days that they had to conform, their answer to my lawyer was, sue me.
Wow.
That was their answer. Wow. Sue me. So I'm supposed to use my money
sue
them.
Exactly.
And they use our money in the state
to fight you back.
To fight me back.
Yeah.
And I'm right.
Yeah.
And I'm right. And I told the Attorney General's office, I don't deny you the fact that I will fax the information to you. I will call you the next day. I will do everything you require. Just let me operate my business as such.
And these are the people that we are supposed to give more money and power to.
Oh, yeah.
You also have to report multi-sale transactions, correct?
Multiple sale transactions, yeah. Which now, because of the gun a month, is not going to affect the handgun issue any longer. But the long gun issue, they were in the other day, the ATF. They wanted to know how many multiple sales we had on long guns.
Wow.
In the state of New Jersey. So I said to the fella, I can remember there was an outfit that bought a whole bunch of guns. And he says, yeah, who were they? I think they sent them to Mexico a couple of weeks ago.
He didn't like that.
With that, I got that snarly little look, and he said to me, where's your files? But you had to see the look on his face when I told him that it was worth $1 million, because it went right over his head.
His
partner looked at him and went, Mexico.
That story is still unfolding. That's a disgrace. We've discussed that before.
It's an absolute disgrace.
All right, we're coming up on a break and we got to pay some bills, so we'll be right back. For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law, the bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. I got a lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
This portion of Gun for Hire Radio is being brought to you by Gun for Hire Firearms Academy, America's Urban Defense Institute for over 30 years, with four state-of-the-art facilities in New Jersey, two of them just minutes from New York City and Philadelphia, offering indoor and outdoor training, moving and shooting, tactical weapons training, baton, handcuff, and mace, executive protection training and certification, multi-state CCW permits, and armed security and retired law enforcement qualifications. Gun for Hire Academy is equipped with a state-of-the-art FATS, Firearms Training Simulator, and is the only training facility in the world approved for civilian, force-on-force, simmunitions training. Whether you're a beginner who's never touched a gun, or a seasoned professional looking to keep your skills sharp, you'll find something tailored just for you at Gun for Hire. Flying in from out of town? We'll pick you up at the airport. Find out more at gunforhire.com. Train where the pros do. Gun for Hire, America's Urban Defense Institute.
So now multiple transactions, there's extra paperwork you have to fill out. There's extra paperwork you have to file. If I come in and buy two long guns at one time, because sometimes I come in, I buy two long guns and a handgun all at the same time. And your daughter rolls her eyes because it's a ton of paperwork. And, you know, a lot of things, like most gun shop owners in this state, they all look frazzled all the time. And I think it's because you're literally always under the gun.
You're burdened with paperwork. You're always being cross-examined. And what most retail people don't understand, when they come into a gun shop, we don't pay 7% sales tax. We pay 18% on every box of shells, on every firearm. We pay a 7% sales tax. We pay an 11% federal excise tax.
Wow.
That 11% federal excise tax has been in existence since Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, my God.
It was called the Pittman-Robinson Act. That money is supposed to go to support all of the national parks, maintenance, upkeep, salaries. That's what supports every park that the American people go to today and enjoy. Yellowstone and Yosemite, whatever it may be, comes from the sale of firearms and ammunition in the country. And I'm going to give you an example. Colorado last year sent the federal government, in federal excise tax, $88 million.
Oh, my God.
Just the state of Colorado.
Wow.
So when they talk gun control, they're talking dollar control.
Well, the ridiculous part about it is look at how much money the state of Florida is making on non-resident fees.
Carry.
It's in
hundreds of millions of dollars.
And New Jersey is laying cops off because we don't have the money. But yet we have an attorney general who doesn't believe in even having a gun in your home, let alone issuing
now,
carry permits.
You're in business 30 years. You have to keep that paperwork forever, correct?
Forever. Oh, forever. God.
So the first transaction you made 30-something years ago, you still have that on file?
We have that right on
and
file.
The ATF or the state police could walk in tomorrow and ask to see it?
Ask to see it or fax us a search on that individual or that particular gun, and we produce it.
I see you guys doing searches all the time.
So that's
what that is. You get a fax for a serial number or a person, and someone has to go into the crypt downstairs and pull out that paperwork and fax it over, doing their paperwork for them.
And you know what the interesting part about this is? The markup on guns is ridiculously low.
Yes. $40 to $50 on a regular gun, I'm told,
yeah.
Right?
And the charge guard companies discriminate against
yeah.
us also.
Yeah.
If you own the auto parts store next door, you pay 2.5%. as to where the gun industry pays 5.5%. And they'll tell you right up front, it's the nature of your business. That's the reason why we charge you.
And that's not discrimination of any kind.
No, that's not discrimination.
And then you have insurance to deal with.
Insurance is horrendous. They take full advantage of it because you're insuring the gun industry. It goes on and on and on. The building, the individual that buys the gun, you have to be careful that he doesn't injure himself. It says on the barrel, do not point this gun at anybody and pull the trigger because you're going to get hurt. I mean, all of this goes on and on and on. It's redundant.
This is the bad end.
You've been pointed
the other way.
You've been through some really hard times in this state. When I was young and was not politically active, I was working on my career early on in my family. You were at the point in your life where I am kind of now, where you were fighting. You were going to rallies. He was on the Jerry Springer show. Jerry Springer? No.
I was on Jerry Springer. I was on
Morton Downey. Morton Downey show.
And it was a couple others
there. What was his name? Ennis?
Roy Ennis.
He's a board of director of the NRA. Manny was on a few shows with him.
With him. And I had interviews with Kitey Tong from NBC News at that time. And Yeah, she didn't care for me at all.
2 years ago when the gun boom went on after Obama was elected, Manny every day had a camera crew in his store asking him questions. And it's just crazy because they can't understand why people, the liberals do not want to understand why people buy guns. And yeah. to be honest with you, it's hard to imagine that he's been able to stay in business for 30 years
it really is.
Under these conditions. These kind
of
conditions, you know?
In the state of New Jersey. But he's one of very few who have been able to weather the storm. So many gun dealers have gone out of business, right?
Yeah.
In the past.
Yes.
This is the labor of love. And most people don't realize or understand
that. It has
that.
To be, man.
How do you feel when the state police walk in the door or the ATF walk in the door? It must be a shitty feeling. It's like, oh, here we go again. Assume the position.
Yeah. Get ready.
Yeah. And, did you bring the Vaseline?
And unlike other gun stores that have been shut down, they've never lost a gun.
Yeah.
You know, because they do that cross-reference to the ATF. They've lost guns on paper, like, for a day or two just because it wasn't locked out properly in the book. Like, it's in for repair, but it showed that it was sold or whatever. There's been a T crossed her and I dotted, which is a normal. The ATF says that's normal. I was talking to one of the women there. She wasn't that bad. She was kind of nice. But she said, oh, yeah, the bullet hole, they've never lost a gun. Every gun is accounted for.
For 30 years.
For 30 years.
30 years, but, yeah.
We had a gun store in New Jersey.
And it's not like you only sell two guns a week.
We had a gun store in New Jersey that's lost like over 100 guns.
Wow.
We're over 40,000 guns right now, and we can account for every gun.
He has to have that paperwork for 40,000 transactions. That doesn't count used guns coming in, consignment coming in, individual
sales. Used guns are
different
books. Oh, that's another thing. We have to keep a used gun book.
And a new gun book.
And we get a new gun book. And then we have to keep not only our ammunition record, we have to keep our powder record.
Powder, too.
Powder. You buy powder.
And he only sells 1 pound containers. He doesn't sell kegs of powder.
Yeah, there's a limit to how much powder you can sell.
You can actually buy. We keep a ledger for that also because you never know who wants to come and blow up half the state of New Jersey. which
happens a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Firecrackers are dangerous. You know?
But he has to keep books on everything, and they still use paper books. It's not computerized yet.
Oh my God.
His books and journals.
All handwritten.
You know what else the state police did a couple of years ago, like 2 years ago,
that
pissed me off? If you put a gun for sale in the bullet hole on consignment, if you decide not to sell it, you have to get a pistol permit to get it back.
To get your gun back. What belongs to you,
no.
You have to get a pistol permit and do a NICS check
to
get your gun back.
To get your own gun back.
Yes. Get your own gun back.
Yes.
And your long gun, you have to do the same thing. Do a 44-73 and a certificate of eligibility.
And a NICS.
And a $15 NICS charge.
Oh, my God.
Because the state, he can't hold guns on consignment. He has to take them as his property and put them in the book. Now, for him to take them out of the book, the state wants the entire process. So if I wanted to sell an old revolver of mine and gave it to him on consignment.
Stop, you're making me crazy.
I'm serious. 3 months later, I decide, you know what? I don't want to sell that gun. I'm doing better financially. Manny, let me have my gun back. Yeah, right. Go get a pistol permit. Get a pistol permit. I pay a NICS check. I have to fill out all the paperwork to get my own gun back.
It's a nightmare of paperwork that we have to account for. A nightmare. And, you know, we were talking about earlier on about, just to touch on this, about the gun a month deal, how it has impacted my business. It has, tremendously. And the NICS itself has impacted my business. I was in the process of buying a much larger building. I intended to employ another 15 people. And along with that, I would have been spending a lot more money and moving a lot more product line. I put all that on a back burner. I can't afford to go and hire 15 people, buy $1 million-plus building, and so on and so forth. Way of gun laws are here. And it seems crazy that the state does not want to accept the fact that you're losing all this revenue. Where is your mentality?
It's proof that they hate us more than they hate losing money.
Yeah. Correct.
We'll be back.
Anthony and I just want to say thanks to 3 new sponsors who had the stones to step up and make this crazy show possible. So welcome to Milcom, the world leader in engineering and manufacturing of extreme performance lubricants for military, law enforcement, and the serious shooter, and makers of the only NRA-endorsed gun care system. They're also based right here in New Jersey. For the first time ever, you can get the very same extreme performance gun care system used by U.S. Special Forces, the FBI, Navy SEALs, and Army Rangers. Their guns need to work all the time, no exception. That's why this very special formula was created. And this very same formula is being made available to you. So now, you can get up to 10 times more rounds down range between cleaning and ultra-reliable lubrication in any condition from blistering desert heat to bone-cracking Arctic tundra. And because we did some bone cracking of our own, for a very limited time, you can get this amazing gun care system at a ridiculous special introductory price of less than $15 delivered right to your door. But this offer is only good for our Gun for Hire Radio family, so you gotta mention Gun for Hire Radio when you're ordering to get this special price. And this special introductory offer is good only while supplies last, so you snooze and you lose. Use promotion code G1, that's GOLF1, when you call to order toll-free at 866-NRA-GUN-1. That's 866-NRA-GUN and the number 1. If the lines are busy, please keep trying. You don't want to miss out on this offer. You can find out more at NRAGunCare.com. We also want to welcome a very good friend of Gun for Hire Radio, a Second Amendment warrior who lives and operates a business from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain right here in New Jersey, Mr. Ron Sousa of Freedom Energy. Freedom Energy is a leader in commercial solar energy. Ron says not only does solar make good economical and environmental sense, since a special government rebate now lets you pay for your initial investment in less than 5 years, which means you not only can get off the grid and make your own free energy, but you can actually put cash in your pocket at the same time. Self-sustaining solar also makes patriotic sense, since our nation's enemies are also our energy masters. Every time you flip on a switch, Ron says you're buying an IED or AK for a jihadi terrorist. If you own a commercial building, you could be tightening the noose around the necks of our enemies while at the same time enjoying the benefit of free electric. Doesn't get any better than that. But you really gotta act fast. The government rebate giveaway ends forever on midnight, December 31st. And even if you don't have cash in the bank, Ron has financing available. He's even got a group of investors who will foot the entire bill, then pay you cash to rent your roof and give you access to electric at half of what you're paying now. Plus, if the power goes down for any reason, you'll still be up and running. It's a no-brainer, but you gotta act quickly because time's running out. And when this free government money program ends, it ends for good. Building owners, call Ron Sousa directly today at 973-265-2900 and ask him about the special deal exclusively for Gun for Hire listeners. And another special welcome goes out to an amazing tattoo artist, Mr. Paul Nolan, owner of Physical Graffiti in Linden, New Jersey. Paul's the guy that other tattoo artists come to learn from, and he's also Anthony's personal tattoo artist. Physical Graffiti is New Jersey's highest-rated tattoo and body piercing studio. They've got the largest selection of tattoo designs and body jewelry anywhere. They carry it all, from pure 316 LVM surgical implant-grade stainless steel to 14-karat white and yellow gold. And if you're really looking for something to make a statement, they've even got platinum and diamonds. Paul's tattoos are amazing, unlike anything you could ever imagine. And his artists are handpicked by him and are proficient in all styles, from traditional to new school, Japanese, tribal, and even portraits. There's nothing they don't do. Looking for something totally different? Paul says their black and gray tattoos really kick ass. And if blow your mind color is your thing, Paul's trademark technique guarantees to lay in color so solid and vibrant, it'll make your eyes bleed. Physical Graffiti is no newcomer. It's been, as Paul puts it, kicking ass for damn near 20 years. Check them out on the web at physicalgraffiti.net or just swing by in person. They're located at 275 West St. George's Avenue in Linden, New Jersey. Call them today for directions at 908-925-5288. Physical Graffiti, when you want to treat yourself to the very best. Okay, we're back.
You know, one of the reasons why I get along with Manny is because he has the same attitude as me. He doesn't really give a shit.
Yeah, so, you guys are nuts.
You know, Manny always says that the First Amendment exists because of the Second Amendment, and too many people forget that.
Yeah.
Too many card-carrying members of the ACLU should realize that it's because of people with guns that you can carry your ACLU card and tout the First Amendment, my freedom of speech. But once in a while, Manny will exercise freedom of speech. 2 years ago, when Obama first got elected, everything was hot and heavy. New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Star Ledger were all buzzing around him. And I did a short interview with the Wall Street Journal, and then I went across the street, and I was eating a diet donut that they had in the bullet hole with a cup of coffee. And Manny was doing an interview with Lisa Rose from the Star Ledger, and he told her that the only way to fix our gun laws is we need to go to Washington and line all the politicians up on Pennsylvania Ave and shoot every other one in the head. And the ones that are and the ones that are still standing, send them in to re-vote on these laws. And if we don't like it, bring them out and do the same thing again, and keep doing it until we get the answers that we're looking for. Well, I almost choked on my diet donut.
Oh my God, Manny, will you marry me?
And I thought, oh shit, we're done after this one.
Oh, that's
great. Secret Service, come with
us.
Repelling
through the windows. That's great.
But, you know, you got to give the guy credit. It takes a lot of balls to say something like that on camera. So I think that's one of the reasons why I get along with him so well.
I want to expand on that.
Oh shit.
I want to expand.
Here goes
on
our show, Sandy.
There it goes.
Go ahead.
I can hear the flashbang now.
I wanted to go to Pennsylvania Avenue and line them all up.
Yeah.
I said, we go down a line and we shoot every other one. Who's left standing? We send them back in office again and say, we're going to line you up in 30 days again and see what you do for the American people nationwide, not just New Jersey, nationwide. Do you think we'll have a lot of volunteers or we'll have a lot of changes? You bet we would. But that's where our system has come to this point, where the American people are so frustrated that they cannot get any satisfaction. We're being browbeaten. You know, charity starts at home. This administration today gives billions of dollars overseas. And you have people
of borrowed Chinese money.
On borrowed Chinese money, exactly. And the American people are without work. The NAFTA agreement stripped this country of all its manufacturing ability and sent it overseas. So why are we not an industrial giant? We were sold out.
Right.
So
we're this a service country now.
This administration needs to be either removed entirely, or the concept has to be changed and bring it all back again. And if they're not willing to do that, then they're not with us. And if they're not with us, they're against us. Get rid of them.
Our founding fathers are flipping over in their graves.
Absolutely.
On the very same soil where the Revolutionary War was fought.
That's what it was fought about. Yeah. The Revolutionary War didn't come down to the fact that some rebel threw tea in a Boston harbor. It was because the British marched on Concord to take our guns and our ammunition.
Yes.
Correct.
That's what the shot around the world was heard. It was the beheading of the French leader, the Russian czars. That was a shot for freedom worldwide, and people don't understand or realize that.
And you want to talk about a true patriot and benefactor. Last year we had our first NRA dinner, and it was the biggest in the state of New Jersey, the first high caliber biggest in the state of New Jersey.
And it's going to be bigger.
And
next
it was Gun for Hire in a Bullet Hole that sponsored it. And actually, it was done by my wife and Jennifer. But Manny and I were name only. We ran it. But it was the largest, biggest dinner ever. But the best thing was that Manny spent the most money at the dinner that night. So, because he's got a lot of kids and grandchildren, and he's a true patriot. Anything with a flag on it or a picture of a pioneer or a hunter, he bought it for his grandchildren, which was a beautiful thing. And I will say, before we had an NRA dinner, when we used to go to NRA dinners, and he would go and buy a whole table, and I would go and buy a whole table. We'd be dueling tables next to each other, you know, throwing ice at each other or whatever. Everybody knows that if something comes up for bid, it starts at $100 from a stranger, $50 another stranger, then Manny bids $200. Everybody else in the room shuts up because they know if he's bidding on it, he's taking it home.
But it goes to a good cause.
See what I mean?
Yes.
But there's no bidding against him, okay? Unfortunately, you'd be there. It would be into seven digits. People would be mortgaging houses to win an $85
tray.
Yeah, $85 cup or something. So, but
that is the most expensive coffee mug I've ever purchased, though. I'll tell you
but
that.
He is a true patriot, and All of his family hunts. They all shoot. They all have guns. They're all life members of the NRA. We're passing a petition around now for Scott Bach for re-election for NRA board. He needs 250 signatures. We brought the petition over to Bullet Hole. The Circa family gave us 22 signatures.
Just the family.
This is the family. They're all voting. They're all voting members of the NRA because they're all life members. I mean, come on, guys. This is what we need out there. This is really what we need.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's no two ways about it. The one thing I wanted to touch on, too, about the New York Times article that they wrote.
Here we go. You hear a helicopter here now.
You're gonna love this one. This girl came in. She was New York City, born and raised, never owned a gun, knew nothing about the gun industry. She wanted to do the interview, and I agreed. And I says there, on one condition, you print the truth. And I have to give her credit. I called her and thanked her because she did print the truth. I gave her a full education for 5 days on what it took to buy a gun, paperwork, so on, the background check, so on and so forth. Well, by the third day, she asked me if she could hold one, and she did. On the fourth day, she wanted to fire one. She shot one shot, put the gun down, turned around and says to me, "This is better than having sex."
Honest.
This is God's truth. On the fifth day, which was Friday, I went back in the range again, and I took the ammo and the gun away from her, and she said, "What's the matter?" I said, "I can't afford you." I said, "You're shooting too much." And she says to me, This is amazing. This was a girl that never owned a gun, never shot a gun, had nothing to do with the gun industry, and wrote an absolutely beautiful full-page article about the gun industry in the New York Times.
Wow. Yep. And never really would have had that opportunity had it not been for you educating her about it.
That was the key factor. Yeah. I educated her, and she stayed in the store, and she seen people coming in with permits and so on and so forth, and the background checks and everything that transpired. And she took a different light of the gun industry entirely.
You know what else, too? She was amazed. I was in there a lot. She was amazed of the cross-section of people buying guns because her perception, of course, was we all wear camo with teeth missing.
Got teeth missing,
With a kill 'em all, let God sort 'em shirt, and we're all chewing tobacco, And she was amazed at how many doctors and lawyers and husbands and wives and fathers were coming in with their sons buying guns and shooting. Yeah. She couldn't believe that there was such. She's like, I think she said to me like five times, she's like, "Is it always like this? In other words, we have a white-collar day.
And then the
next day we have a blue collar, and the next day is normal person day or gun owner day. But she was amazed. She's like, "Is it always like this?" Yes, it's always like this. This is what gun owners look like. But you have the Joyce Foundation and the liberal media that all portray us as ignorant fools.
Yeah.
That all we cling onto is our God and our religion and our guns.
That's right.
God and guns. Yeah. But they're wrong because we're more than that.
Yeah. We are more than that. We are America. And unfortunately, the anti-gun people are the minority, but they've got the biggest voice because they've got the most money behind them.
Correct.
Gun owners in New Jersey consider themselves somehow second-class citizens. Scott Bach, I think, put it best when he said, "I was a closet gun owner." I felt the same way. You know the crowd I run with.
Okay? I know.
And it's very, very difficult. In fact, even just doing this show for me was a very dangerous thing for me to do career-wise.
I am usually surrounded by my social circle, my friends, family, everybody I'm around with is all pro Second Amendment gun people. So I am so biased and so out of the normal elements, so to speak. I went to a barbecue, 4th of July.
Yeah.
My protege invited me.
Yeah.
And everybody there were Birkenstock wearing, granola eating yuppies, and all anti-gun. And my wife was away somewhere, and I went alone. And wow, was I uncomfortable.
Yeah.
They were like, "Well, guns, evil things, this thing, that
and
thing."
And here come you in the gun for hire truck.
Yes, I ended up, I had the charger, actually. And it was an interesting thing, but their perception is exactly as the media portrays it, that we're all crazies waiting to run into a schoolyard and start shooting people. And, you know, I was having intelligent conversations. I mean, I read the Wall Street Journal every day. I'm educated, and I'd be talking to them, and they were like, "Oh, wow, you know about that? Oh, wow." They think I just know how to
I just learned how to write other day.
Amazing that you know how to read, you redneck.
Right? See, redneck.
It's amazing.
And we get that all the time. You know, people, and I always equate it, you know, we go out of our way, especially with women and new shooters, to be nice to them, because I tell everybody, for a woman to walk into a gun store or a gun school is like walking into a biker bar.
And it's our job to make sure they don't feel like a side of beef.
They got to be comfortable.
Correct.
Absolutely. We'll be right back.
With over 25 years expert knowledge and experience to help you select the perfect firearm, the Bullet Hole has one of the largest firearm selections in the New York metro area, with over 300 handguns in stock. You'll find all the major brands, including Glock, Ruger, Smith & Wesson, Kimber, Sig Sauer, and Springfield Armory. And if you're looking for a hunting or tactical rifle or shotgun, they have an extensive inventory of top brands like Benelli, Bushmaster, Remington, and a full line of police equipment and shooting accessories. And the best part is, you can shoot there too. The Bullet Hole has a 10-port, state-of-the-art, climate-controlled indoor range and is the only indoor range in the New York metro area that can handle anything from handgun to high-powered rifle. The range is bright, clean, and safe with full-time, helpful, certified range safety officers and an air scrubber filtration system, like breathing mountain fresh air, and a large selection of range ammo at really great prices. There's even a full-time gunsmith on staff, and you can even get your New Jersey or Pennsylvania hunting licenses. The Bullet Hole is on Rutgers Street, across from the main Gun for Hire campus, less than 10 miles from Manhattan. And if you're a law enforcement officer or armed security guard and need to qualify, just drop by any Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. No appointment necessary. Find out more on the web at bulletholenj.com or just follow the link from the gunforhireradio.com resource page. The Bullet Hole, North Jersey's gun authority for over 25 years. Come see Manny, Jen, or Jennifer and tell them you heard about them on Gun for Hire Radio.
Before the break, we were talking about what happens when people walk onto a range, especially women, and there's a lot of women shooters coming. Have you noticed that, Manny?
There's been a tremendous increase in the women coming into our place, and to make them feel more at home and comfortable, I have a daughter that's in there all the time. I have a daughter-in-law that's in there at all times, and my wife on most occasions are there, and we have a few guys in there also. But
you do have a predominant female staff.
We have a predominant woman staff that can more than adequate, more than capable of handling anything that comes up, and women are at ease when they come in there and they see that atmosphere. Yeah.
I have a funny story. I like to bust his daughter, Jennifer. We have a good relationship, and her father is hunting, and it's hunting season, so he's away hunting, so she's behind the counter, and some first-generation immigrants come walking into the store. They're Portuguese. We're next to a high Portuguese community, and three of them come walking in, and they ask her for her father, and she said, "He's not here. Can I help you?" They said no, and they walk out. 2 days later, they come back. "Is your father here?" She said, "No. Can I help you?" And they walk out. The next day, I'm in the store. The three guys come walking in. They said to Jennifer, "Is your father here?" She said, "Yeah, he's right over there." They go over and ask Manny a question, and he says, "Ask my daughter."
It's true. She really knows her stuff.
And Jennifer turned to me and gave me that look like, son of a bitch, they had to come to me anyway. Okay, but they didn't want to talk to her. Now, also in the gun industry, and Manny will tell you this, he's 30 years in the business. I'm, since 1992, instructing, started teaching out of his place. 10 or 15 years ago, if a woman walked into a gun store, he would ask her if she needed a gift certificate, because the demographic, you really didn't have women just walking into
and
gun
buying,
stores to shoot.
Guns,
But today, it's completely different. Like Helen that comes in.
Helen is a prime example. This is a young girl that comes in. She owns several guns. She loves to shoot. She comes in on a regular basis.
All by herself.
All by herself. And guys talk to her, kibitz with her. She goes back and forth, and she's an excellent shooter. Safety-minded, safety-conscious. She's totally comfortable coming in our place. And she's not the only one. We have a multitude of women. I've told a couple people numerous times.
There's always
times,
women on the line. Yes. Every time I walk in there, there's women on the shooting line.
When you
line.
Come in our place on a Saturday, you'll see a husband, wife, and two kids. I mean, it's a family-operated business and a family operation as far as it catering to the family. People go bowling. People come shooting. People play golf. They come shooting. The nature of the business is to accommodate everyone. So no one can come in there and say, "I feel uneasy here." The system works. There's no wrong with it.
The stereotypes.
Well, you know, it's fun. The stereotypes are broken. You
not
saw
for the media.
No. But what's interesting is I brought my camera crew in, right? And all my guys are young guys. They're all network guys. In the beginning, everybody was kind of fascinated. When I did an interview with you and the post-production people are looking at it, they're like, it's not exactly what I expected. And they started telling stories. The second time we came back, you could see that the camera crew, they were itching to want to maybe play with the guns. Right. But I said, do you guys want to shoot? I said, I can have one of the instructors come over, teach you, you know, what you need to know, and you could shoot. No, that's okay. It's all right. by the third time, now they want to shoot. Yeah. And when they did shoot, all of a sudden they get that great big ear-to-ear grin. It's like, wow, this is really cool.
Really cool, yeah, right? Yeah.
So now they're, you know, they're turned over.
And women shoot better than men.
Women do shoot better.
They listen better. They learn faster. They focus and concentrate better.
They have dexterity. They have poise. Guys have ants in their pants. Girls can.
Yeah, yeah.
They got it down.
I was just in a range Wednesday night, and I was in Port 10 doing a police qualification. And in Port 8, a woman came over, and she says she started asking me a little bit about lessons. I looked at her target. I'm like, you don't need any lessons. She's like, well, no, I just want to learn how to take it apart and clean it. I said, you just come across the street. Well, you don't have to take a lesson for that, will you? So she came up yesterday, and we showed her how to take it apart and clean it. Really, really nice girl. She's in the health service industry or something, and she lives alone, and she's afraid.
Yeah.
She's afraid with the crime going up and
well,
everything.
Well, she has right to be. Unfortunately,
correct.
We're in the most regulated state when it comes to guns. And yet we have the highest crime rate. Crime has gone down nationally for, what, 5 years now? Everywhere but New Jersey and the Northeast, where the gun laws are oppressive. But New Jersey especially.
Homicides were like 3 points higher than a national average.
Yeah.
The biggest thing there, I believe, is the concealed carry. You don't have the level of crime in the concealed carry states that you have in New Jersey. Right. They need to open that up here and give people the right to concealed carry.
Now, where's your brother live?
My brother lives in North Carolina.
Now, his brother lives in North Carolina, was a fireman, correct?
Right.
Law-abiding citizen all his life, fireman. Manny was a printer in his first career and
his
a gun owner
life,
in his
yeah.
second career. Both law-abiding citizens. If Manny didn't own a gun store, Manny can't have a carry permit, but yet his brother in North Carolina moved from New Jersey to North Carolina, can carry 24/7 in his state. Why is North Carolina different than New Jersey?
We live in a nanny state.
Yep.
Okay, and the government here decides what's good for us and what's bad for us. In other states, they didn't let that happen, but we fell asleep at the switch. We allowed this to happen bit by bit by bit. It didn't happen.
Well, we didn't, but the majority of the people did.
Yes, the majority of the people, yes.
I've been voting alongside Mr. Cirque here for the past 30 years on one issue.
Yes, me too now.
Back when this nut was renting vans and driving us down to Washington, D.C., although I did get to meet G. Gordon Liddy.
Yeah.
He pulled up with an H1 Hummer, the regular full-size Hummer, and his license plate was H2O Gate on his license plate. Honest to God.
Really?
The first time I met G. Gordon Liddy was at a pro-gun rally in Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C.
I think 1993 when Florio was doing all the stuff. We all went down to D.C. But, we have small pockets of activism in this state.
But
we
need to get more. There is power in the masses. And we need to really get more people to the range and take an active part.
Well, we host NSSF First Shots.
Yes.
We introduce new shooters. We partner the Bullet Hole and Gun for Hire. On a Saturday or Sunday, we'll have 150 people come through, guys and girls, to try to get them to mobilize. Many of them become customers.
Customers, sure.
Many of them, of course, they decide it's not for them and they disappear. But we do our part. But we're only a small group of people.
That's
right.
And that's you. But what about our listeners? We have to get out of the shadows. That's one of the biggest problems we have here. I'm going to say it until I'm blue in the face.
You know what else we have to do? We have to stop fighting each other.
Yes, we do.
Okay,
yeah,
we have to stop fighting each other. I see too much rivalry between the associations and everything. You know, which one's better? They're all good.
Yeah.
Okay? If they're operating and they're fighting for our Second Amendment rights, they're on our team, and
absolutely.
We have to remember that.
That's why they all have to get under one umbrella. If they do that and they all go forth as a group, not separately, because you're divided, you lose.
Yes, exactly.
Put everybody under the same roof and attack the issue by issue. You know, you talk about supporting. We support the Boy Scouts in Bloomfield. We support our town with high schools and so on and so forth. The people, on occasion, you get someone that complains about the fact that the gun industry has got an ad in a magazine or so on and so forth. And they've gone to the point where they've actually taken the parents And we've done safety courses with the Boy Scouts, giving them shooting lessons because it's part of their merit award. And we've had the parents come to supervise or stand over the kids when we do this, and we dedicate the range to them. When we're finished, those parents will turn around, most of them, and they'll come up to you and say, you know, I have a different view of the gun industry now. I appreciate the fact that you educated my child. We don't own a gun, but the fact that that child was educated so that when he goes to his neighbor's house, if those people in that house are not gun safe, mm-hmm. and their child takes that firearm out, your child is going to know how to respond because he was educated.
Yes, exactly.
But you'll teach him about drugs, condoms, and so on and so forth in the school system, but you don't want to teach them about guns. You're foolish not to. That education is the key issue. Educate your child on safety and gun smart do and not to do, and you'll be much more ahead of the game.
We're going to end it on that note, hoping that no one will remember his comments about the politicians on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Or, I have a feeling you'll get mad.
This was better than sex.
that one's not that bad.
I didn't want to tell her, though. Maybe she's having sex with the wrong person.
Manny Circa from the Bullet Hole, thank you for all you do.
Thank you so
much. My pleasure, guys. Anytime.
This is only the first time.
Oh, no.
You're coming back many times.
You're going to be back a lot.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. This episode of Gun for Hire Radio has been brought to you by The Bullet Hole, North Jersey's gun authority for over 25 years. By Lipstick Bodyguard, like having a personal bodyguard in your purse or pocket. By Evan Knappett, New Jersey's gun lawyer. And by Gun for Hire Firearms Academy, America's Urban Defense Institute for over 30 years. Find out more at gunforhire.com. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Radio production. Our online technical director and webmaster is Jose. Hey, who ate my chicharrones? Morales. Our art director is Matt, the Yo-Yo Man, Danchis. Our post-production engineer is John, who said there would be free beer, Massa. And our production assistant for this week's episode was Danielle, don't use my real name, Lawson. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Berardi. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, thanks for listening. And please, take a moment to rub it in the faces of all those anti-gun liberals, and give this episode an outstanding rating on iTunes and Zoom. See you next week.
This gun's for hire.